Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, July 3rd, 2023, Joel.
Well, this is very encouraging for the pastor because I know that you know how to read and are here on a Monday. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Joel chapter 2, the great chapter on the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments, silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, in these last days as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon. We thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history in a worldwide pandemic. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history and the apostasy and degeneracy of our nation, the United States of America. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history and the satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the Word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, underneath are the everlasting arms. In Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3, Jesus admonished us to discern the times. That means pay attention to what's going on. Study the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. And pray about everything. Today we see signs of distress all over the world. We can see in real time things the Bible long ago told us about. And it's not pretty. Lawlessness, moral confusion, slander, deception, hedonism, uncontrolled rage, and cruelty fill our sight lines. These things are no longer theoretical events to be analyzed from a distance. They're happening all around us. And it can be scary. But danger does not diminish God's essence and God's integrity. In Isaiah 41:10, he said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We are currently standing in the middle of a tsunami of end time events. Even those who do not understand what's happening, they sense something foreboding in the news and seemingly all around us. But despite all that, God still says to his people, "I will help you. I will uphold you." Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 and 27 gives the dramatic picture of the omnipotent God flying through the heavens to bring you help. Deuteronomy 33, 26 and 27 says, "There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Jeshurun. Jeshurun is a poetic term of endearment for Israel. The Septuagint translated as beloved one, but that's not what it really means. It literally means the righteous one. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, he has imputed his righteousness to you. Justification by faith. And you should be way, way ahead of this article. You understand that at that moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. Now, what does that mean? You are encapsulated by what? By the integrity of God. We are all encapsulated by the integrity of God. That establishes a grace pipeline. And day after day after day after day, God sends grace down that pipeline to each one of us. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter how apostate we become and degenerate, no matter how much evil and we have an extremely evil federal government. And in the midst of all that, you are encapsulated by the integrity of God. And every day, grace blessings come down to each one of us. We have the security of grace, blessing from God, day after day after day after day, no matter what is going on in the world. You should be way ahead of this article and understand these things. And in time of need, he, the living and true God, comes to our aid. He upholds you with his own perfect righteousness. His everlasting arms undergird your life. And those arms never tire, never grow weak. Psalm 121 verse 4 says that He never slumbers. Psalm 100 says, the Lord is Tov, intrinsically good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Everlasting mercy is mercy, grace in action that never, ever ends. Are we living in the last of the last days? I think we are. But His precious and magnificent promises, 2 Peter 1:4, stand. Jesus remains your good shepherd. John 10:11, of course, Psalm 23, the winner believer, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He's still the way and the truth and the life, John 14:6. And from Him still flows living water, John 4:10. Of course, the living water of the church age is the indwelling and filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life. You can still cast all your care on Him because He still cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. End time events should strengthen your faith and our resolve. The word on which we have based our lives is proving to be absolute truth. Yes, evil men are doing evil things. But Psalm 37 verse 1 says, do not fret because of evildoers. Hebrews 4:16. And again, prayer is powerful and effective when it's offered by a grace-righteous believer. The prayers of a grace-righteous believer are powerful and effective, and they accomplish much. But one of the great prayer promises, Hebrews 4:16, says, let us therefore draw near with confidence, boldness, to the throne of grace. The winner believer is oriented to the grace of God. And the winner believer is motivated day after day after day, usually many times during the day, to go to the throne of grace in prayer, that we may receive mercy, grace in action, and may find grace to help in time of need. We can confidently draw near to Him in prayer because His is the throne of grace. And at His throne, you will find grace to help in times of need. And that includes now. Joel chapter 2. The day of the Lord. There is so much here. Some of you said, I didn't know I'd be studying the Old Testament and spend so much time in Revelation. But this is the explanation of so much of what goes on here in Joel 2. Joel chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. Corrected translation. Give a blast on the shofar. That's the ram's horn. Sound the alarm in Zion. And be caused to sound the alarm for war. War on my holy mountain. All the ones who are living in the land. People living in Israel during the great tribulation. Will tremble with fear. Because the day of the Lord has arrived. Now the day of the Lord includes the tribulation period, second advent, millennial reign of Christ. But here, sometimes it includes the passage determines. Sometimes it's the great tribulation, might be the first half or the last half. Might be the tribulation, the great tribulation. It might be the second advent. It might be the millennial king. The millennial kingdom of Christ. Here, it's the great tribulation, the last half of the tribulation period. We'll tremble with fear because the day of the Lord has arrived, because it is near. Imminent judgment and destruction is at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like the dawn spreading out over the mountains, so a great and mighty army is being spread out over the land. There has absolutely not been anything like it from of old, nor ever will be again after it, even to the years of the future ages. Verse 3. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden, but behind them, a desert of devastation and waste. In fact, nothing at all escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses, so they run. Verse 5, like the sound of war chariots, they leap over the tops of the mountains. Like the noise of a fiercely blazing fire consuming the stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for war. Verse 6, at the sight of them, the nations will keep on writhing in pain and anguish. Every face intensively turns pale because of fear, worry, anxiety. They keep on advancing to the attack like mighty men, Army Airborne Rangers, Special Forces. They keep on climbing the wall, overrunning fortifications like men of war. And they all keep on advancing in line. In fact, they absolutely do not deviate from their course. Verse 8, and they do not afflict each other. No casualties from friendly fire. Each mighty one, each special forces soldier keeps on advancing relentlessly in his own highway, his own tactical situation and objective. In fact, when they burst through the defenses, they absolutely cannot be stopped. Verse 9. They keep on rushing upon the city, Jerusalem. They keep on overrunning the city's fortifications. They keep on climbing into the houses. They keep on entering through the windows like a criminal. Now, this is a prophetical passage, and there is near fulfillment, and there is far fulfillment. So, Joel 2, we have three fulfillments. The first one is the time in Joel's day, the administration of the fourth cycle of national discipline, a locust invasion of real locusts. I guess they're having a big problem up in the Northwest. My family lives up in the Northwest. They're having a problem of Mormon crickets. Now, you know that's evil. Mormon crickets. And there were so many people were sliding off the highway. The highway was covered with them. It was like grease. And they riding along and then start sliding on the Mormon crickets off the road. Well, these aren't Mormon crickets, but these are real locusts. The first near fulfillment is the locust invasion in Joel's day. These are real locusts. This was the administration of the fourth cycle of national discipline. The second fulfillment is the invading armies in the Great Tribulation. This is the far fulfillment, a part of the far fulfillment. The invading armies in the Great Tribulation. The third fulfillment is the locust invasion in the Great Tribulation. And the locust invasion in the Great Tribulation is the demon invasion. That's the third fulfillment. So the far fulfillment is made up of the invading armies in the Great Tribulation and the demon armies in the locust invasion of the demon armies in the Great Tribulation. That's verses, that's Joel chapter 2, 1 through 9. Now in Joel 2, 10 and 11, the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? First of all, it is a time of unprecedented earthquakes. Verse 10. The invasion of these great armies in Joel 2, 1 through 9 will be accompanied by great and awesome cosmic disorder. The entire universe from earth below to heavens above shakes and trembles before the thunderous battle cry of the divine commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 10 says, before them the earth quakes. The invasion of these armies will be accompanied by earthquakes. During the Great Tribulation, there will be five great and powerful earthquakes. The first one is the opening of the sixth seal, Revelation 6, 12 to 17. The second earthquake is associated with the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 8, 1 to 5. The third earthquake is associated with the second woe, which is the sixth trumpet judgment associated with the resurrection of the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11, 3 to 14. The fourth earthquake is associated with the seventh bowl judgment, Revelation 6:17-21. And the fifth earthquake is associated with the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, Zechariah 14:1-9, when the foot of Jesus Christ touched down on the Mount of Olives. So first of all, the day of the Lord is a time of unprecedented earthquakes on planet Earth. Secondly, it is a time when even the heavens will quake and tremble. And thirdly, the awesomeness of the day of the Lord is seen in the fact that the sun and the moon will be dark and the stars will withdraw their brightness. And this is Joel 2, verse 10, which sounds like this. Before them the earth quakes, the heavens quake, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars withdraw their brightness. They no longer shine. That's Joel 2, 2, Joel 2, 10, Joel 3, 15, Isaiah 13, 6 to 13, Isaiah 34, 1 to 4, Zechariah 14, verses 6 and 7. Now that brings us to verse 11. In verse 11, we have the army of the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. The army of the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. Now, again, there is a near fulfillment and far fulfillment. The ultimate fulfillment of verse 11 will be the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. And when he comes back at the second advent, he comes back with great military glory. He comes back as a soldier. And in fact, Revelation 19 says his eyes are a blazing fire. And when he comes back at the second advent, the peoples on planet Earth will want the mountains to fall down on them. They know that judgment is coming. So the ultimate fulfillment of verse 11 will be the second advent of Christ. But again, this is a prophetic passage, near and far fulfillment. So we start out, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the tetragrammaton, plus the cal perfect of the verb nathan, plus the noun kol with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the preposition lifne with the noun kayil and the third person singular masculine suffix. The conjunction vav is a continuative vav translated and. The tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. Orthodox Jews never pronounce that. If you pronounce that, it would be Yahweh. It's been transliterated Jehovah. And most of you know it that name, Jehovah. It is also translated Lord. But this name is the holiest name of the living and true God, and Orthodox Jews would never read Yahweh or Jehovah. They would read Adonai. So every time they saw this, they read Adonai. The holiest name for the Lord, and the Lord here is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. He holds the record for killing the enemy in battle, 185,000 Assyrians, Isaiah 37, verses 36 and 37. However, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back at the second advent, in great military glory, as the greatest soldier of all time, he will destroy that record at his second advent. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he will return in to wage war. And to wage war with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. This will be a war carried out by Jesus Christ with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Now we saw this at the end last time. Let's start beginning with it tonight. Turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 11 to 21, the second advent of Jesus Christ. To the earth at the end of the tribulation period. He first of all comes to go to war. The second advent of Christ first of all is to go to war in great military glory. Revelation 19 verse 11, I saw the heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. With justice, he judges and makes war. With justice, he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is holy. And this war will be carried out by the living and true God based on his infinite integrity, infinite righteousness, infinite justice. He judges all unbelievers will be judged and destroyed. He will make war, and all unbelievers will die. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. The Bible tells us that when he comes back in judgment, the blood will flow as high as the horse's bridle for 180 miles. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Halagos tou theou. The Word of God. Of course, who is the author of Revelation? The Apostle John. What do we have in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was face to face with God, and the Logos was the eternally existing God. Jesus Christ is the Logos, and his name is the Halagos tou theou, the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him. Now the armies of heaven, who are the armies of heaven following him? Well, just go over to Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, who's the bride of the Lamb? We are the bride. We're the body of Christ on earth. We're the bride of Christ in heaven. And we come back as his bride. The millennial kingdom is a 1,000-year wedding celebration. So, I don't know how long your wedding celebration is, but it was nothing compared to what we're going to have coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. We come back as his bride. And his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And the fine linen stands for the grace, righteous acts of the saints, church age believers. So, we know fine linen, they were given fine linen, bright and clean, given to her to wear, and it stands for the grace, righteous acts of the saints. Now back over. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in what? Fine linen, white and clean. This is his armies, the saints, church age believers, the bride. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, to totally defeat every and kill and slaughter every believer, every unbeliever living on planet Earth. Now, when you read this here, he destroys and kills all unbelievers on planet Earth with a sharp sword from his mouth. Joel chapter 2 tells us what that sharp sword is. Davar. Davar is the Hebrew word for word. Jesus Christ will simply speak. He will simply speak. And from the word of his mouth is the sword of his mouth. He will simply speak, and all unbelievers will be destroyed. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And then next we have the millennial reign of Christ. He will rule them with, he rules those believers who survive the tribulation in the millennial kingdom. He'll rule them with an iron scepter, an iron rod. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. These are all the unbelievers on planet Earth, and that's most of the people on planet Earth. And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast, the Antichrist, was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider. And the sword of the mouth of Jesus Christ is his word. He will simply speak, and the rest of them are dead. And all the birds gorge themselves on their flesh. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time, and he will establish a new record for killing the enemy in battle at the second advent. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he will return in great military glory. And then we have the verb nathan. Nathan. And nathan literally means to give. And with it we have coal, Q long O L, coal. And coal literally means sound or a voice. So literally this says that the Lord gave his voice. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, notes on pages 679 and 878, that when these two words, Nathan and Kol, are used together with the Lord as the subject, then it means to thunder commands. That's how it should be translated. Thunder commands. So the corrected translation, and the Lord thundered his commands. And the perfect tense of Nathan is the prophetic perfect. The second advent of Jesus Christ is so certain to take place that it is viewed as an already accomplished fact. That's the prophetic perfect. And then we have the preposition lifne. L-I-P-H-N long E, lifne. And lifne means before or at the head of. We'll translate it at the head of. At the head of what? At the head of the Kayil. C-H-A-Y-I-L, Kayil. And Kayil is army. So the corrected translation, and the Lord thundered his commands at the head of his army. And who makes up that army? We do. The bride coming back. So the groom is coming back, bringing his bride for a 1,000-year wedding celebration in the millennial kingdom. And the Lord thundered his commands at the head of his army. One, the second advent of Jesus Christ will present something totally unique in warfare. The second advent of Jesus Christ will present something totally unique in warfare. Two, for the first time ever, the commanding general of the armies, the commanding general of the armies, will be out on point and will lead this military invasion. For the first time ever, the commanding general of the armies will be out on point and will lead this military invasion. 3, the Lord Jesus Christ will be out in front of this great army and will lead it into battle. The Lord Jesus Christ will be out in front of this great army and will lead it into battle. 4, he will slaughter millions and millions of unbelievers all over planet Earth with the sword that comes out of his mouth, Revelation 19:21. But we'll find out from Joel 2:11 that is the word of his mouth. He will simply speak, and they're toast. He will simply speak, and they're dead. So he will slaughter millions and millions of unbelievers, every unbeliever on planet Earth. Most of the people that are alive at the second advent are unbelievers. There are some believers who survive the tribulation, but it's very few. Why is it very few? Most of them have been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is on an all-out objective of slaughtering every believer in Jesus Christ. Most of the believers in the tribulation, those who respond to the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, those who respond to the 144,000 super evangelists and believe in Jesus Christ, most of those will be martyred for their faith in Christ. There will be a few who survive, and they will go into the millennial kingdom. So the millennial kingdom begins with very few people on planet Earth. It will begin with, we will be there, the bride, Jesus Christ will be there, and those who survived the tribulation and were not martyred for their faith in Christ. So it starts out with a very low population on planet Earth, but perfect environment for 1,000 years. There will be an amazing population explosion because nobody's going to die unless you're a criminal. If you only live to be 350 years old, you're a criminal because everybody else is going to live the whole 1,000 years. And when you live a whole 1,000 years, well, I hate to say this, but for the women, they're going to be having babies, 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 babies. And the world will be repopulated. 1,000 years and nobody's dying except for criminals. And if you commit a capital crime, Jesus Christ, it's a monarchy. What's the best type of government? Monarchy. Jesus Christ will rule the world in a monarchy, and he has the facts. You commit a capital crime, you're executed. That's the way it should be here, but we are a very evil, evil nation. We protect the criminal. How evil can you become? You protect the criminal and allow law-abiding citizens to be murdered, robbed, all these things. That is as evil as it gets. And the Lord thundered his commands at the head of his army. And then it says in the King James, for his camp is very great. This is the conjunction ki plus the noun makanah with the third person singular masculine suffix plus the adverb ma'oth with the adjective rav. The conjunction key, K long I, and you know this is many times causal, and that's what it is here. You translate it because, and then makana. M-A-C-H-A-N-E-H, makana. And makana means camp or encampment. When it's in a military context, it refers to a military organization, and here, his forces, and that's the way we'll translate it, his forces. His military organization, or his forces, military forces. Because his military organization, his forces, are Rav Ma'od. Rav Ma'od. That's Rav. There's Rav right there. Oh, you always go right to left in Hebrew. Rav. And then Ma'od. Rav Ma'od. Rav Ma'od means very great, beyond number. Very great, beyond number. So the corrected translation, because his military organization, his military forces are very great, beyond number. So verse 11 now says, and the Lord thundered his commands at the head of his army, because his military organization, his forces, are very great beyond number. Now, again, got to remind you, in prophetical passages, you have a near fulfillment, far fulfillment. The ultimate fulfillment, or the far fulfillment of Joel 2:11, is the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a prophetic passage, and it starts out in Joel's day. It starts out in Joel's day with the administration of the fourth cycle of discipline, with a locust invasion of bugs, real locusts. So, one, the locust plague in Joel's day illustrates a near fulfillment and a near judgment which came on Israel. The locust plague in Joel's day illustrated a near fulfillment, a near judgment, which came on Israel. Two, the Lord had spoken through his servants, the prophets. The Lord had spoken through his servants, the prophets, but the people, in arrogance and negative volition, turned a deaf ear to the warning. They didn't listen to what Joel taught. They didn't listen to what Isaiah taught. They didn't listen to what Jeremiah taught. They didn't like going to Bible class. They were arrogant. They were negative. They had wrong priorities. Everything else was more important than God and the Word of God. And as a result, they saw, well, in Joel's day, the fourth cycle of national discipline. But then in 721, the Assyrians administered the fifth cycle of national discipline on the northern kingdom and took the survivors back to Nineveh. And then in 526 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord Jesus Christ, brought evil one to administer judgment on evil two, the Chaldeans, to destroy the southern kingdom under the fifth cycle of discipline. So again, point two, the Lord had spoken through his servant, the prophets, but the people, in arrogance, negative volition, they didn't listen. They didn't want to go to Bible class. They weren't interested in Bible doctrine or Bible teaching. Their priorities were all screwed up and wrong. So they had a deaf ear. 3. Therefore, now the Lord will speak to their enemies. Therefore, now the Lord will speak to their enemies. In Joel's day, first of all, the enemies were real locusts. Real locusts that were carrying out... How in the hell did that get on there? What?
I don't know how it got up there, but if you hit right there, it might...
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
You get a raise in pay. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living and true God. Now I don't have any ink.
Just press that one right there.
Here?
Yes, sir. And then hit the red one. Yeah, you're good right now. You're good. You should be able to write. I don't know.
You want to just stay up here?
No, sir.
Oh, boy. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living and true God. He is holy. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And when a client nation to God like the United States of America or like Israel in Joel's day turn away, Southern Kingdom in Jeremiah's day, turn away from God. They're not interested. They're not that interested in God. They're not interested in the Word of God. And they get into the cosmic system and away they go from warning discipline, intensive discipline, then dying discipline. And then what comes from the holiness of God? The 5 cycles of national discipline. Where do the 5 cycles of national discipline come from? A living and true God who is holy, who is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And the 5 cycles of discipline are coming to the United States of America. I really believe we're living in the last of the last days, but there is no United States of America in the tribulation. None. There's nothing that even resembles the United States of America in the tribulation. Why? We are either totally wiped out or we destroy ourselves from within. We're destroying ourselves from within. And where's the biggest problem? Christians are the biggest problem. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation of God. We got lots of Christians in America. They're in reversionism. God doesn't mean anything to them. The Word of God doesn't mean anything to them. They have priorities all screwed up and out of whack. And so here comes from the holiness of God the 5 cycles of national discipline. Now, first of all, in Joel's day, the Lord spoke to the enemies, their enemies, real locusts in Joel's day. So that's point 3. Again, point 2, the Lord had spoken through his servants, the prophets, but the people, in arrogance and negative volition, didn't listen to them. They didn't like going to Bible class and listening. 3, therefore now the Lord will speak to their enemies. First of all, real locusts in Joel's day, administration of the fourth cycle of national discipline. 4, then the Lord will speak to the Assyrians. And the Lord used evil one, the Assyrians, to destroy evil two, the northern kingdom. So then the Lord will speak to the Assyrians. And the Lord used evil one, the Assyrians, to destroy evil two, the northern kingdom. God commanded, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who commanded the Assyrians to administer the fifth cycle of discipline on the northern kingdom Israel in 721 B.C. And the few survivors were taken off into captivity, 2 Kings 17, 1-41. And that, the Lord commanding the Assyrians to administer the fifth cycle of discipline, was the function of the righteousness and justice of the Lord. And then after they were taken into captivity, the northern kingdom survivors taken to Nineveh in captivity, then the Assyrians brought down Gentiles to replace the Israelites who married some of the Jews from the southern kingdom. And that resulted in a corrupt religious system which was a mixture of Judaism and paganism. And this group became known as the Samaritans, who later persecuted Jews coming back from the Babylonian captivity. 5. Then the Lord spoke to the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord commanded the Chaldeans to administer the fifth cycle of discipline. Once again, the function of the integrity of God, His righteousness and justice. But this time to the southern kingdom Judah in 586 B.C. So then the Lord spoke to the Chaldeans, commanded them to administer the fifth cycle of discipline. Evil one being used to destroy evil two. Evil one, the Chaldean, destroying evil two, the southern kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar and his army reduced Jerusalem and Solomon's temple to rubble. 2 Kings 25, 1-30. The Jewish survivors were put on a death march to Babylon for the 70-year captivity prophesied by Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25:11. And nobody wanted to listen to Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the great Bible teachers of the day. How sad! Jeremiah watching his client nation of God turn away from God, turn away from the Word of God. And he warned them, the Lord will bring in another nation, the Chaldeans, evil one to destroy us, and we're evil too. And Jeremiah sat up on a hill and watched this take place. He watched the destruction of his nation. And you know, there's a song that is one of my favorite hymns. We play it a lot. And you know where this hymn comes from? It comes from Jeremiah. As he witnessed all this, Jeremiah, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved God, who loved the Word of God, wrote down, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness." Jeremiah understood the holiness of God. Jeremiah understood that Jesus Christ was absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And therefore he knew that the southern kingdom deserved everything they got because they turned away from the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Six. However, a still greater fulfillment of this horrible day of the Lord is yet to be seen in the Great Tribulation. A still greater fulfillment of this horrible day of the Lord is yet to be seen in the Great Tribulation. And at that time, the armies of the nations of the world will converge on Israel. But the verdict of this war will not be the total destruction of Israel, because the Lord will go forth at the second advent and fight against those nations who have come up to do battle against Israel. And that's Zechariah. That's Zechariah 14, verse 2. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. And then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Point 7. When the Lord Jesus Christ fights against those nations at the second advent, he will destroy them with the word of his mouth. That's Joel 2:11. The davar, the word of his mouth. That's the same thing as Revelation 19, verse 15 and verse 21, when it says, the sword of his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back at the second advent, will destroy them, all the unbeliever on the earth. All those armies, the kings of the north, the king of the north, Russia, the kings of the east, communist China, the pan-Arabic bloc from the south, the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist. They'll all bring their armies into the Valley of Megiddo for Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. And the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy them with the word of his mouth, Joel 2:11, which is the same thing as the sword of his mouth, Revelation 19, 15, and 21. And the Lord thundered his commands at the head of his army, because his military organization, his forces, are very great beyond number. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.